all fucking going through it, and Miss Sauvé only has so many resources.
Sauvé is so tapped out.
She's like, I need an aide. I need someone else here with me. There's too much trauma in this school.
Like, this is 700 kids. I am one woman.
Maybe that's why she eventually falls into the black hole. She eats herself into it.
Sauvé just jumps in there. She's just like, fuck this. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, no.
Hello and welcome to season 4, episode 8 of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are joined by Corey Newton, one of our Titty Snake producers, to discuss Degrassi season 4, episode 10, Neutron Dance. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Hi.
Hi, we are so glad to have you here.
Yes, welcome.
Before we started recording, Corey was telling us about kind of their intro to Degrassi. Do you want to talk about that again? Not to put you on the spot, but...
I was just saying that I started Degrassi with Boiling Point. That was my first season. And then I absolutely fell in love with it and went back and watched all of the earlier stuff. But I'm way more familiar with, like, the later stuff.
Yeah, we were just talking about how that's a painful time for many, and that you are a trooper for hanging on and wanting to go back to
the... I get anxiety really just thinking about it.
It's going to be okay, Caroline. It's going to be okay.
I know. Well,
we got some time.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, apparently, you know? No, but we're happy to have you aboard, Corey. And you picked this episode. Do you want to... tell us why you picked this episode?
Oh, that's a good point.
Honestly, I don't really have a solid reason.
That's fun.
It was just one of the ones on the list, and I was like, that's a good one. Why not? Oh.
It is we'll get into it, but it is a good one to pick out of, you know,
there's a lot going on. My notes still are pretty.
There's still definitely some happenings.
There's happenings happening, but not as heavy of happenings.
Right. We get some stuff payoff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, not to cut you off. You said, I feel like.
Oh, no. I was saying, I feel like it's a little bit lighter, especially compared to like what was coming right before the episodes.
Right.
Yes.
Or the episodes before.
Yeah. We've had our like 2 days of trauma. Grieving, and now
and then we get this little reprieve,
yoga.
And then it's like a massive menti bee and gonorrhea in the throat, which Loki, I feel like I sound like I have gonorrhea in the throat right now because
you don't.
My voice is so tired from this last week.
My voice is still pretty tired, too. I had that smoky, sexy thing going on earlier in the week, and now I've kind of gone back to my regular voice. But, yeah, no, I sounded way worse on, like, Tuesday, you know, Wednesday of this week. I sound better now, but I was like, damn it. I was hoping it would hang on for recording. But, no, we're happy to have you here, and I'm glad you chose this one, Corey. This is a fun one. To talk about, like, not just between Caroline and I, so.
And Corey is here, we should mention, as a Titty Snake producer, which is one
indeed.
Of our Patreon tiers. It's our highest Patreon tier.
Mm-hmm,
but it comes with a lot of cool perks, including that you get to come on for an episode.
Yes. Of your choosing within reason. We have a little little copy, little caveat there, but yeah. Yep. Absolutely. To the snake producer in the house.
Full disclosure, being able to be on an episode was the reason that I signed up to be a titty snake producer.
Oh, I love that, awesome. That's great. That is good for us to hear. It means like our offerings are like, that they're working, and we want them to mean something though. So that's still, it's really cool to have like anyone that supports the show on, but like you're supporting at the highest, you know, capacity. So it's really cool to like have you on. You must be like either a Degrassi super fan or an Us super fan, most likely a Degrassi super fan, but I'm good
somewhere
for
in
either.
The middle.
I love the column A, column B situation. I'm good with that. That's delightful.
No,
and
it
so
was
unexpected.
Like, can we talk really quickly about how cool it was? We had a couple of people come up to our booth at the con, like that were already listeners and like mm-hmm. wanted to take selfies with us, and it was really cool. And like, I know
cool.
that nobody was like, oh, I have to go to this con, your mom's podcast is gonna be here, but they were
no.
like, I'm going to this con, and hey sweet, your mom's podcast is gonna be there too.
Yes, shout out to Chelsea and Rachel.
Chelsea and
Rachel
are
the two that's two lovely ladies that stick out in my mind, but I know that they were.
And James, who I think is more from
yes.
the group, but I think
James yes.
Nixon listens as
yes,
well.
Yes, we got a Nixon. Cool to meet James in person. But yeah, no, it was like out of all of like the interactions other than like, I mean, we had Shane on the show. So to meet Shane was cool. But like it really meant a lot to like interact with folks that listen. And I really think it's cool. I really still think it's really cool that anybody wants to support us, and especially, you know, you, Corey, for supporting us at the highest tier is really, really
yeah.
fucking cool. And thank you so much. And I'm just excited to talk to Degrassi with you. We have been talking for like an hour
now.
So just, yeah, full disclosure, if you guys sign up for Titty Snake producer tier and you come on, we can fucking talk. And
we
do a
make
pre-show.
It an evening.
We do a pre-show, which, yes, make it an evening.
And we have been stepping up our Patreon game. And I think, Avis, you want to do monthly packs, right?
Yeah, yes. That's something we can definitely announce now. So I feel like it's really cool that we have 6 Patreon folks now. That's a good round number. To celebrate, I felt like we should launch a themed monthly pack. So it's really just going to be like,
do we
some
really
print...
want to go as far as themed? Or
well,
just
it's
going to
be
pack.
A loose theme. Yeah, it's not going to be a theme, but a loose theme. I feel like I'll get excited to do stuff in October, November, December. But then, you know, I might be scraping it for February after February, you know, March. No, honestly, I might have theme going. I might be able to do a theme past, you know.
My birthday is in December. So if you want to do like a birthday theme for me.
When in December, Corey? Are you a Sag?
I'm a Capricorn.
You're a okay.
December 23rd.
Yep, you're okay. You're
I'm
on the other side. You're a cusp. Yep, my girlfriend's the 18th. So you guys love to just rob Christmas, huh? And just like get to run away with both presents. No,
but
I
then
definitely
I don't get
yeah.
anything at the any other point in the year.
Like that's it. No, I think I don't want to like hold myself to the themes, but I definitely feel like it's feasible to do a theme for like at least 7 out of the 12 months a year. And that's enough for me. Don't hold me to a theme though, guys. If you listen to the show, you know me by now. I don't
I think before we build our merch
that
stock,
shit.
That's a little ambitious.
Well, no, I was thinking more with like the print items.
Mm.
Yeah, print items
Word.
Can be
anyway
more theme,
we're
but
gonna
yeah.
start sending out stuff to our patrons mm-hmm. I think we're gonna start sending out like small shit to our free patrons as well.
Yes, I'm gonna
maybe
need
not
to,
monthly but
not
quarterly.
Monthly but yes yeah you're gonna get a little something if you're on the free Patreon tier. Obviously if you're listening to this and I don't have your mailing address, you haven't won the caption contest, you know, maybe get that to me so that I can make those things happen, because I am, you know, I want to build, the free Patreon community, but it is a little bit tougher. So yeah, no, I'm excited for growing Patreon and just all of our offerings, content wise and mailing wise. So yeah.
And from there, Corey, do you want to read us a poem that you will later not listen to?
Absolutely. Roses are red, kick Ash out of the band. Paige has her eye on a grown-ass man. Jimmy is still in the hospital, and Marco and Spin are not dealing with it well. Rather than talk or do yoga about it, they project all of their anger onto Ashley, the newest addition to downtown Sasquatch. After a bunch of unnecessary snarky comments and a whole-ass accordion, they give Craig an ultimatum, them or Ash. Over in the B-plot, Paige is over Spin and officially looking for a new man. Unfortunately, she sets her sights a little too high, and they land on student teacher Matt Oleander. Is this a harmless, one-sided schoolgirl crush, or is Mr. O as creepy as his hair is greasy?
I'm going to take that last statement and enter it into canon, please. Fucking Mr. Oleander is a grease ball, and he's so fucking creepy.
He looks like a loser. Like, when he's sitting at the bar with his beer before his way too hot for him girlfriend shows up.
Thank you. Charlie is way too hot for, like, she looks like literally like someone pulled the fan out and she's got a little wind blowing in her hair and she's like hot. She's got a lot of volume in her fucking hair too. Like, I'm over it. Like, he is a really batting out of his league.
One of my notes is Matt Oleander walks so Ezra Fitz could run.
One day we are going to suffer through Pretty Little Liars together, and I am not looking forward to it.
I don't know if we'll be friends by the end of that.
Well, because I have
that show makes me so mad.
That show pisses me off.
It's so stupid.
I literally gave up on that show.
When did you give up, Corey?
After, like, the second season.
That was probably a good time. That was smart.
That was when it still had promise.
It did.
I envy you.
You always leave the party when it's still jumping, you know?
I got like one or two episodes into season three and I was like, I literally cannot keep doing this to myself.
No, yeah, that's a good call because there's no real good payoff. You don't ever walk. You never walk away satisfied.
Pretty Little Liars satisfied ever.
No, you don't. Just
disappointed. This is an I, Marlene King slander podcast till the day I die.
If that woman has no haters, I'm dead. Exactly. So this is like the first instance of like teacher student, like.
Yeah, besides Liberty and Armstrong,
which is a misunderstanding.
Emma's big mouth.
But, like, you know, we did talk about how she was slightly validated in seeing, you know, that everywhere because of what just happened to her in Yellowknife. But still, that was not the real. Like, Paige is really, like, 10 toes down for Matt Oleander. As soon as she sees his, like, really greasy, like, hang time into his face. Like, I'm surprised he doesn't, like, have, like. He's still young enough to get acne. I still get pimples. Like, I don't like my hair and my face too much because it's, especially if it's that greasy. I'm going to stop talking about how greasy this man's hair is.
No, but like, he could fix that. Maybe not in 10 seconds, but he could fix that if he wanted to.
Yeah, dry shampoo. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? Yes, in 10 seconds. In this day and age, in 10 seconds, he could fix it. So, Matt Oleander. You're a creep anyway, and your hair is greasy.
He is a creep. Yeah, I feel like Hazel's like fighting for her life in this episode because she's like trying to get Paige to see what the fuck is wrong with her.
I know that we're getting ahead of, or I'm going to get ahead of myself, but Hazel was my only shining star in this episode for that very reason.
I can dig that.
I can dig that totally. But you're just like, Hazel's out here doing the good work, like trying to drop little like.
She was crying so hard.
Yeah.
In the wake of horrible trauma that we're not going to explore at all, she's doing yoga about it. She's fine. That's all
she's
we need
like,
to know.
I am happy that they're not making us fucking talk anymore. I just want to do yoga about it. Gosh. Like, which, I mean, is a valid response. I suppose she's like, I don't want to talk anymore. You guys are like, Sove did that one like talking session and
with
then maybe like one more off cam and like she's done. Hazel's over it.
She is Hazel Adent. She wants some chocolate milk, and she needs for this stupidity to be over.
We also don't know about Hazel's personal life, so like maybe her parents are dragging her to therapy too.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet Hazel's parents take her to therapy.
They seem like the responsible type.
Hazel's parents seem like they actually care about her.
Right. Which sucks that we're robbed of that.
Because right, we've seen a photo of them once.
We need more for Hazel, even if it's off screen. We need more for her. We want to believe that at least in her off camera life, she's getting some kind of like nourishment. As like, yeah, it's not. I mean, of course, it's like Paige saying, yeah, I haven't even asked about you today. So we're supposed to like excuse Paige for the fact that she's being self-centered because she asks about Hazel and Jimmy every day, just not today. And I don't know. It's like every like sentence is about Paige and not Hazel.
Yeah, no, it's...
Paige sucks this episode. The plot is about
Which feels like a shitty thing to say about a child who is about to be groomed by a grown-ass man.
And who just prevented a school shooting.
And I mean, she did until...
Until the school shooting actually happened.
But
yeah, she prevented the school shooting in one area of the school. She can't do everything, but she did.
No, she put a stop to that. She apologized to Rick, and he put the gun away.
Yeah, and he only got it back out because of Spinner
because
and Jay.
Because he thought Jimmy had, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But Paige, you know,
I always had a different read on that moment.
What was your read?
Okay, so I always thought Rick was going to shoot Paige, like not just like pull out the gun and start shooting everyone. I was like, he is about to shoot her. And then she apologized and he said, no, Paige just saved herself from my list. And then he went on to find the next person on his list.
But he puts the gun in his locker.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's still possible.
It's possible he would have pulled it out later and tried to, like, you know, maybe go after whoever. But I think he was, like, maybe sobered by that moment a little bit. It was like, maybe I'm tripping, you know?
Right, like this sucked, but everybody sees that this sucked.
Maybe I'm just bugging. Like, and I need to just fucking chill out. Like, yeah. If he would have taken the time. Maybe I'm the super bummer in this situation. Yeah. No.
Do we know why Paige has such disdain for watermelon gum in particular?
It's watermelon. Either way, fucking Snake thinks she's insane.
she is in that moment. Like, yes, it is gross. Like, but grab another seat. Why do you know that it's watermelon?
Not to do these sound bites, but it's like the Kourtney Kardashian sound bite. Kim, there's people that are dying. He's looking at her like, bitch, somebody just like died and then someone else got shot like a couple episodes ago. Can you like chill
a sec?
Okay,
well, that's going to become a meme.
I'm like, he's like, I'm over your shit, Paige. Just sit the fuck down in a different chair.
It's like, watermelon, though.
She's like, but it's watermelon. This is disgusting and illegal. I'm sorry. She just came in unhinged for the day. She's like,
You know what it's giving? Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
I went to sleep
with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And it's just like, it's bad news bears from there. Except instead she gets Mr. Oleander. And I bet they have creepy student teachers even in Australia.
I have a problem with Oleander. Like, student teachers are like how old? They're like 22, 23.
Yeah, they're like still in college usually.
Because you graduate. Yeah, you graduate at like 22. I graduated at 23. So that's why I think 23.
But do you have to go to more than 4 years to be a teacher?
I know there's a practitioner part, like, or whatever, you know, I don't, practitioner is probably for doctors, but
I very briefly was going to be a teacher and did a semester of a teaching course in college. And I think part of the student teaching was like built into the coursework, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Like it was like my senior, one of my senior semesters, I would have had to do student teaching as like part of the college work. So I think that he is in college actively.
Yeah. So he's right. like 22.
But like she's.
But she's like 17.
17. Yeah, no. I mean, the fact that he even says things to her like my favorite yoga student and points for smiling, like he is automatically a greaseball because he's leading her on.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that's over 18 that's looking at someone under 18 and you don't have the excuse of going to school with them like in a high school setting is a predator. And like, I don't really think, and I, you know, fight me on that, guys, fight me on it. Like, I think that if you're too much older than someone, you shouldn't be looking at them in a way, that, especially and if well, there's a dynamic
22
that you're their
is
teacher.
Older enough.
He's your teacher. It doesn't like, right. Like Hazel said, she's like student teacher. Like, bitch, he's still, he can give you assignments and he grades you. What are you talking about? He's your teacher.
Even if he weren't her teacher, the age difference would still be weird because
the age difference, right?
Still, so it's not like that much older. And like, if Paige mm-hmm. were 27 and he were 32, it wouldn't be that weird,
right? It's like you've had but a chance to be an adult at that point. Like you both are on more level,
very different right. places in life.
It's yes. not about the it's number. What makes it it's more about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about absolutely. The development and the life experience. And
yes, it's definitely not like, because I think we were talking about in another context that like these years, they mean, I think in terms of Manny and Craig, that these years in adolescence mean a lot. Every year counts really. And you can, you're in a completely different place at 18 than someone is at 20. You know, even, you know, 22 as well, like you're about to go out into the real world as an adult. Like you can tell that the existentialism and the crushing weight of being an adult is starting to hit Matt.
Right.
Like you can tell he's sitting at the bar, literally drinking a beer, head hung low, looking like he wants to like, like just walk away from everything. He's like, I'm in a lot of debt. And like
it's Canada though, so he may not be.
I think he's in enough debt because, like, spoiler alert, if you guys don't know, his friend gets him a job painting houses, or his friend wait
he gets
thinks
fired
he can get him a job
teaching.
Painting houses, but he also didn't. It doesn't seem like
we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, but I don't know.
But no, it's weird. It's like.
He's in a completely different place. And
think about Paige 2 years from now burning down her dorm room and just like what a completely different person she is in those 2 years.
Her knocking her candle into the fucking wastebasket and watching this shit burn.
Dude, so real though. Like,
have you never wanted to knock a candle into a trash bin and watch the fucking whole thing burn? And then play dumb as fuck like 10 minutes later.
I didn't right? want to until Paige gave me the idea.
Right, you're like inspired, beautiful.
I was real disappointed in Alex.
Thank you. Because can we talk about how Alex is like giving sound advice for 5 seconds? Like, hey, it's okay to be single. You don't have to climb on the next person that's attractive. Oh, wait, they gave you the slightest bit of encouragement, even though this is a creepy ass situation. You should right. put yourself out there and go for it. Like, Alex, no, that's not best friend vibes.
It's
no.
what it and it's not in line to me with what we know of Alex so far.
Right. Encouraging her to go into a situation that's gross and at worst or at best it's someone just trying to seek out a fetish or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that she's well enough like equipped to know that an older guy looking at a younger girl like that, especially in the setting that they're in, is not going to result in a healthy relationship. And it could potentially be abusive. Like, and she has a big radar for abusive bullshit. So yeah, I don't know that she would push her into that greaseball's arms, but she also did a thing a couple episodes ago that wasn't good. So
yeah, you're still mad at Alex, and that's okay. Okay, but you know what? Here's the thing is Alex didn't set Jimmy up.
Alex did not set Jimmy up. She just did a very gross thing with her power. And
she did, but if it didn't have the results that it had, you wouldn't feel so strongly about it. You'd be like, that was kind of shitty, but
I
like...
I just think it's like a dominoes effect sort of thing for me. It's like, this couldn't have happened without this. And so by chain of custody, you are a shitty person. But no, if that didn't result in Jimmy being shot and Rick being killed,
then it would just be like a shitty prank that she pulled in high school.
It would just be a shitty prank, but like
when she was angry about domestic abuse because she's traumatized by it.
I think that's the point, though, that like adolescents can't really see forward to like a chain of like what their actions play in this chain of dominoes. Like, and no one could have necessarily like predicted that, but there were still warning signs there that something was not gonna that something bad was gonna happen. And like you're just poking a bear type thing. I think like an adult who had all of the perspective would have been able to see that some bullshit could have happened as a result of these actions. But
I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, maybe an adult now, just because we're so overcautious about things like school shootings now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. They were fucking with each other back and forth to a degree. He had fucking vandalized their cars and then did the X thing. And like, I don't think it's unreasonable for a person to see that prank and not go, oh, this is going to result in a school shooting.
No, I'm not saying necessarily what exactly happened, but like, think about what happened with the whole Lakehurst thing and JT. Like, that was a bunch of like back and forth, like things that were not necessarily violent in nature, but became violent and resulted in an act of violence. I think that,
yeah,
it might not have been Rick shooting someone, but maybe it would have been a large scale like fight. Maybe it would have been someone getting seriously hurt, like in a different way. Like, who knows? Spinner would have maybe commandeered a fucking vehicle and ran him over. I don't know. Spinner was pissed off that his shit got stagged and sprayed.
Hey, look, Rick's a real person, not an innocent cardboard family.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's shitty that the role that Alex played in it. Do I forgive her? Yes, but that's just because it's not like she acted with the in mind to like, oh, okay, I'm gonna make a school shooting happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is just like playing into what everyone's doing at this time, and it's shitty, but I wouldn't say that it's like she doesn't have all the information to know what the fuck is going on and what Rick has access to and everything like that. And what Spinner and Jay are going to do. How is she to know?
Right. Are you ready to transition to the A plot? Corey, did you have anything?
Do you have any more? Yeah, let me actually check my notes as well.
I don't think I have anything else to say on that topic.
Oh, I do. I felt like it was not a good shots fired. Maybe someone else put it in. So I don't want to undermine it, but I do want to kind of point out to like Hazel saying you and older guys are not always a good match.
Yeah, that felt out of character for Hazel.
It felt like, okay, someone maybe thinks that, but I don't know that Hazel would think it and say it.
Right. Like, hey, like, remember that time that an older guy sexually assaulted you?
Right.
That's, I mean, And it's not that Hazel might not like say that, but it would be a way different conversation.
Hazel, I don't think she would deliver it like that. So go ahead.
No, not at all.
I think that Hazel would have said that, but in much nicer words, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wouldn't have been a snarky comment. It would be a like, hey, you know, older guys, it's a weird thing. And this guy's way older and you've been hurt before. And like, this could be predatory, babes. Like,
exactly. Yeah. And there, and I think that she would have had way, especially with the things she's dealing with, she wouldn't, I don't know that she would be like snarky towards Paige right now, because they're all going, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe like there's some snarkiness to be had between the two of them, but like, I just don't think that that, she knows Paige, she knows that that's not the way to get Paige to listen to her. And yeah, I don't think that she would talk to Paige like that. So I was just a little bit like, it took me out. I was like, that's crazy. Hazel Aden, that's a crazy ass statement to say to your best friend. Yeah, it just seemed a little weird. I think that they gave Hazel a lot of zingers in this episode. I don't know how much I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't give her character development, so they did.
So they just have to give her shitty ass things to say, because they can't have her say, you know, sometimes yoga helps, but sometimes I still think about like how it felt to know that Jimmy had been, you know, like, I don't know. They just don't want her to talk. So they're just giving her the rudest fucking things to say to Paige that don't really make sense for her character anyway. But
right. And she's dealing with the grief and the trauma through yoga, which is just a window into Paige being creepy with Mr. O, mm-hmm. or being creeped on by Mr. O.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good on
because
this.
Because here's the thing is, like, is Paige coming on strong? Yes.
She
Does
is.
Does it matter? Nope.
She's laying it on the line. But
that is a whole ass adult. He should know better.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously this fucking saga continues between the two of these people. This grown ass man, rather.
It continues way longer than it should.
I really forget how long it lasts, Corey. Like it goes on a while.
It goes on for longer than I remembered.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to shake Mr. Oleander for quite some time. If you think he's going somewhere, nope, his ass is here to stay for a while. So yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome and have a seat, you bitch ass, greasy ball.
But over to the A plot. I feel like what the A plot comes down to largely is that Marco and Spinner are upset.
Okay.
Jimmy is gone and Ash is here and
with her keyboard.
Now they're gonna do the song. Right. What they really needed was one girl and a keyboard. Now they're gonna do the song that's about her, that beat her, and she gets to have the recording time that she lost. Like, it's just something to be angry about.
Clearly. Just all the anger. Ashley in this episode is interesting because I like some of the things that she does, but then I'm like, okay, I also really don't understand like the audacity of a lot of the things that she does as well. Particularly like the whole interview. I'm going to blame Liberty for these interview questions because they were fucking terrible. But I'm also going to blame Ashley and Craig, more Craig by proxy, for letting Ashley literally commandeer like they're the Bobsy twins during this interview. Yeah, she's the worst for me during the interview portion, and how she's acting like unaware that she literally came and like crashed the band.
Like, right.
In Craig's defense, Craig is not well.
You can tell that he is starting to struggle in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just not doing well.
No, that break is coming. His love break is in Craig's defense,
he is not well. He really isn't. He is not well. You're right. And he's just not.
No, he's not.
He's weighing very little of anything. Any consequences, any actions, nothing. He's just kind of just rolling with the punches. Oh,
I feel like he, like you're saying, he is very like tunnel vision on the thing that is directly in front of him. And in this episode, the thing directly in front of him is Ashley.
Yeah.
So he is like, if it's not Ashley, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yep. Pretty much. And it's like Ashley is low-key trying to act like she doesn't realize it, because I guess that was very traumatic of a relationship for her to have before. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to do this again. But like the pull of each other, the magnetism.
I mean, he did write something about the way you shine for her.
Something about the way you shine. When the lights go out, I want to make you mine. That's a good song. It is.
It is a good song.
It is. He's a panty dropper. I'm not going to lie to you.
That is a child.
Okay, but first of all, I stand by that. It is totally a child. However, historically, is he not? It's gross, but... I'm not actually thinking about the panties that are dropping. No, you would have fallen
for that as a teenage girl.
Yes, I would fall for that right now, Caroline. Let that young. She doesn't even have to do that, though. Honestly, I saw that young lady this morning hopping out of a fire truck in a fire uniform, and I was just like, okay, I'm very gay.
Let's see Craig do that.
I'll beat that. No, but let somebody sing that. Those lyrics are very sweet. Like, that's a very sweet thing to sing to someone. And I don't know. I think when Chris was on, he was like, I feel like they just wrote the show so they could write these, so they could like have these songs playing, because they literally had these songs and they were like, we need to do something with them. Let's write a whole show because they're so good, the lyrics. And I'm like, no, actually, these are actually really good songs. All of Craig's songs are pretty good. And could be like their own. Like, I want Craig's first album.
The only song on Craig's first album that I personally want to listen to is Thong Girl Wrong Girl.
Same. I want to know what's going on. Like, is it like an upbeat? Like, is it a bad? Like, what is he doing? A rock ballad? Power ballad?
My headcanon for Thong Girl Wrong Girl is that it is Craig's attempt at a rap song.
Okay. In the vein of like, my homie is a player and that is all.
Yeah.
Got it. Caroline's like staring off.
No, I'm trying to think of like what.
What you think.
Because I don't think it's a rap. I do think that there is cultural appropriation done. But I feel like it's dancey. I feel like it probably has
dancey.
A Latin influence, because Craig doesn't know that Manny's not
Maria,
Latina.
Maria. He doesn't know that it's not Latina. Oh, shit. That is so terrible. Probably, though. He's like Manuela. That sounds more exotic. It doesn't bother to ask where the fuck she's from. Oh, God. Thank God Sully's gone. fucking hate
if
that
only
guy.
We could hear Thong Girl Wrong Girl.
If only
I
we could hear.
Sully existed.
As you should. Fuck that guy.
Every time so he gets happy. Mentioned, I'm like, oh, yeah, he did exist.
He was a thing for, like, a little bit. Yeah.
He's the worst. He's the actual worst. He's like Peter Stone 1.0.
He looks like Peter Stone. It's like he actually gives Peter Stone vibes when he's walking around with the fucking camera.
He was the practice Peter.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. We have come so far to go right back where we
Man,
started.
Man, really makes you appreciate Peter.
Does it? Does it? A little bit.
Yeah, when you see how much he's grown.
At least Peter Stone was able to get some sort of character development. I feel like if Sully had gotten any amount of development or an arc, maybe he wouldn't be so shitty.
Maybe. But then they said, they were like, should we develop Sully? Better not. No. Let's do something else instead.
Can we talk about the line that made me an Ellie hater when I was a teenager?
Yes, and I would like you to, yes, go ahead, because I hope it's the same line that I took issue
Guys
with.
Guys suck,
fucking episode.
Ashley. And then they enjoy messing with our feelings and sticking us with the rent. To which I said, let's unpack that.
You're like, you can't get away with that.
And I get that Ellie is a kid with her own trauma, a lot of which is abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. And Sean just up and left. And I don't want to discount that.
Right, because we did break that down in our talk about Back in Black and how I was very upset with Sean, but I very much understood. But that was fucked up of him.
But that's part of why he had to leave, because Ellie does not get what he just went through. And Ellie can't step outside of herself enough to, like, let what he's been through not be about her and how it affects her.
So here's what I think. I agree with that to an extent, and I think it's more to me that she is not able to not care about her feelings over what he's going through. Like, she's fine if he stays with her while he's grieving, and she'll do her best to get him through that, but, like, she needs him to stay with her. And because he's considering leaving her, she's pissed, and she doesn't want anything to do with him anymore. And she wants to, you know, demonize him when he literally just went through a very valid, you know, reason to want to go back to your parents and lay under your mom's titty for a little bit. I'm sorry. Like, right. I'm going to want to do that if I just experienced a trauma. Let me experience a trauma right now as, you know, a 30-year-old woman. I'm going back to my mom. Yeah. She lives like almost 100 miles away. And I'm going to go lay up under her because I need that comfort.
Dude, no, when I got robbed in Indiana, I was like 24. And I was like, I guess I'm moving to Vermont because that's home now. Because that's where my mommy is.
And I need my mommy
and
close by.
And I need my mommy.
No, yeah. I understand that. And it's like, I don't blame Ellie for saying that. I more blame Ellie for what she says after that to Ashley about just like not wanting to be a shoulder for her if she takes a chance on this situation with Craig and follows her heart. Like, okay, I'm not going to be there for you. Okay, you can be tired of her bullshit, but you're like one of her only friends right now. Like, right. Her other friend is like got blackholed in Cinderblock Park. Like, you're it, Ellie.
Right? And Paige, she and Paige are cool again, but Paige, like, is not, dealing with
right.
Her
Paige is dealing
old man
with her
own friend.
Got
and
her own
Hazel's
bullshit.
Grief.
Paige is
she doesn't
full.
Have time
her plate
for you.
Is full. Yeah, it's a shame.
No, Ellie sucks. I told you. I told you from the beginning. I tried.
You did? Did you?
No. I tried for like a whole ass season.
We didn't even like cap off the Ellie experiment. We didn't even do that. We'll have to do that next this recap. Can you try for a little bit longer? Can you try?
I did show her grace. I acknowledged that she has abandonment issues and that Sean leaving after this thing is a trauma for her. Mm-hmm. And that's very real. And she's still a bitch.
Yeah, no, it's
yes,
not her.
May I speak as an Ellie apologist for like 2 seconds here?
Yes, please do.
Please
do.
So maybe part of Ellie's deal with Sean leaving is she doesn't understand wanting to go home to your mom. And maybe that's why she also feels some type of way about it, because if she experienced trauma, she wouldn't want to go home to her mom, because her
Thank
mom is
you.
A piece of shit.
And also in rehab right now.
I mean, okay, fair. Fair. Well, and I mean, that's like, I get that Ellie has trauma that's very real.
I agree with that too. And also, a couple of episodes ago, where I lay my head, he's like begging her to move in. He's like, leave your shitty situation.
Somebody.
Leave your shitty house. And she still feels abandoned. For her, she's still on the one and he's on the two. He's like, hey, something else occurred in between this time and I need you to react appropriately. And she's like, fuck that. You made promises to me.
I get that.
And I am living here illegally with your fucking...
And you're in, she's not like, there illegally.
Well, she will be when she can't pay that rent. Well, spoiler alert, she'll be able to pay it. But yeah, no, she's probably just like, as someone who has abandonment issues, I can confidently say it is hard not to be pretty selfish because, like, I think a lot of trauma responses make you selfish because mm-hmm. you have to look out for number one. You can't really. You don't really have time to look at anybody else and think about what anybody else needs. You have to think about what you need. And being abandoned slightly sucks. But also, like, having your mom, like, low-key try to burn down your house while you're still in the bitch and then blame you for it. Like, she gets gaslit a lot. I don't know. I think that Ellie has a lot of, like, bullshit that goes on that makes her like not want to trust
didn't
people.
Blame her for it. You blamed her for it.
Well, no. I blame Ellie for it. No, her mom basically is like, you don't have a right to be mad about this. I feel bad enough. Which is like not fair because she totally has a right to feel bad and upset that she almost got like burned, like she almost burnt to a crisp in her own fucking house. Like, I don't know.
No, that's fair.
Ellie also had trauma. Where was she during the shooting? I don't know. But she
was in the classroom with Hazel and Paige.
Briefly. We clearly get no response to her actually during the shooting. She acts very uninvolved. But, like, she also did have her own, like, house, like, burned down a couple episodes ago. So I don't think that she's in the best mental state either. They're all fucking going through it, and Miss Sauvé only has so many resources.
Sauvé is so tapped out.
She's like, I need an aide. I need someone else here with me. There's too much trauma in this school.
Like, this is 700 kids. I am one woman.
Maybe that's why she eventually falls into the black hole. She eats herself to it.
Sauvé just jumps in there. She's just like, fuck this. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, no.
She's around for a while, though. I would have quit like 7 times before Sauvé disappears.
You'd have tapped out so many times.
Like my 3rd session with Ellie, I would have been like, I can't do this.
I'm done. Ellie's the one. Like, you're so... All I think about is like, Ellie's like, I'm sorry, I wasted your time. And Caroline's like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, why don't you work on that?
Like, clearly she's got issues, Caroline. Caroline has zero, but like she would let Craig run her over his car.
No, I'm not there with Craig anymore, and you know that. I am working on being a reformed Craig apologist. Thank you.
No, that's very just, much. That's just everybody in this, like, I guess everybody on TikTok right now who wants Shane Kippel to run them over with their car. Like, please come to my house, get in my car, and run me over with it, Shane.
Can I also just say, I don't think that Ashley was anywhere near as bad as Craig or as Spinner and Marco were making her. Like, she had good ideas. She was annoying in the interview, but she was excited.
She was annoying in the interview, but...
I'm officially an Ashley apologist. Haters gonna hate.
So, for me, it feels like... She was enabled through a lot of the bullshit. Like, Craig, like we have said, Craig is not well. Craig is just wanting to have his cake and eat it too, but he's also not like seeing it like that. Like when they say, oh, we never voted on it, he's like, yeah, you did. And then he like he cocks his head like, I thought you did. Like we had a conversation. Right. Like Craig is having conversations with these people that he does not, that aren't actually conversations. And he's like I think you said earlier, Corey, like he's just tunnel vision on Ashley. And he's like, no, we're not going to get back together to Jimmy. And then like actively
JK,
making
we're
it
back together.
Right. Actively like making like
we're
just
not
staring.
Gonna get back together. Immediately turns around and kisses her.
Right. Just stares at her in while she's having a very real conversation that you initiated and then you kiss her. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's shitty too, because like if he had been upfront with her about Jimmy and Marco, mm-hmm. she would have gotten it. Like you can tell because she the way she like hits him and is like, are you fucking kidding me? When he says he walked out for her.
I like that part. Because I feel like a lot of her character before was like wanting someone to prove their love for her. And like, it's like more with Jimmy than Craig, like, you know, wanting Jimmy to act a certain way or like treat her a certain way so that she could feel the love. But it's like now she realizes that like, this is a big opportunity for Craig and she wants this for him, even if she's not involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's growth to me. Like, you know what? Like, you, that's growth. Like, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I don't want her to be a, like the girl who's just like not, who's making everything about her when some things just aren't about you. Like that, I don't want her to be that person forever. Right. And it seems like she's growing up into where she's not being like, hey, you walked out for me. That's super hot. Let's kiss. She's like, hey, or like how Caitlin would be, honestly.
Right.
To be
right.
fair, if you walked out of a recording session for Caitlin Ryan, she's letting you walk out of that recording session. And she is not encouraging you to go back as a grown-ass woman. She is like, you walked out of there for me. That's so sweet. She's going to pop her leg, give you a kiss, and it's over. But no, Ashley's like, you need to go back in there. Like, what are you doing? And that's the right response.
Yeah.
Like, at any age, that's the right response. So, you know, snaps and claps. We appreciate someone who has grown, you know? Even if it's just in the context of her and Craig, I appreciate the growth.
Yeah, no, I love Ashley now, so.
Caroline loves Ashley now, so. I grew up loving Ellie. I have since kind of regressed in that love, but it's still, I still appreciate some of where Ellie is coming from. I think I relate to abandonment issues so hard, so whenever someone has abandonment issues, I'm just like, oh, you poor baby. but I think as I get older, I do realize that people kind of like hate on Ashley for being a teenage girl. And that's fine. I feel like that's a lot of why I hate Emma. just like the worst version of a teenage girl. But no, she's not the worst in this episode. She's annoying as shit, though. I don't appreciate her commandeering that interview, but I think her and Craig are unhinged in that interview. And it's not a good interview anyway, so.
No, it's a terrible interview. Liberty sucks.
Say Themistocles.
She should go back to saving whales because when it comes to doing interviews for the grapevine.
You suck.
She sucks.
Yeah, it was not a good interview.
I don't know how that's going to be a good article. That is going to be like the shortest article ever.
Right. Like, what right. are your musical influences? Do
Death
you guys...
Cab and Neutral Milk Hotel.
Neutral Milk Hotel. Okay, I'll take Death Cab because, okay. But Neutral Milk Hotel, the way they geeked out. I mean, it's like, I think the moral of this episode is like, if Craig had a great relationship, it was him and Ashley. They geek yeah. out together. They're cute together. I actually feel the love with them. But they're
no,
annoying.
No, I definitely, like, I want them to work. But yeah, they're annoying.
They don't care about anybody else but themselves. And part of it is because Craig is not well. But, like, But Ashley's right along with him on the, like, you know, whatever with everybody else, as long as we're happy train.
I mean, yeah, but also, like, teenage girls are also just by their very nature not well. I know it's not the same as, like, bipolar.
No, but I can truly attest that my 16 to, like, 19-year-old brain was not
well. Was not well.
I started young when I was, like, 12.
You're, of course, like, I got y'all bitches cornered because I was unwell way before that.
15.
I was put on Zoloft when I was, like, 12, so.
Damn, Corey.
Okay. I took Concerta until I was, like, 11. And then I was like, no, thank you. I don't want any more baby speed. No thanks.
Yeah, I was on Zoloft, and I turned into a zombie. And then my parents said, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore to our literal adolescent child.
Well, yeah. That's good, at least.
That's good. No more Zoloft for Corey. That's intense, though. Zoloft is, like, low-key no joke.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with depression, and my doctor skipped all of the other steps and just went straight to medication.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice. Especially for, you know, the kids. Just, you're probably, like, on that cusp of just, like, medicate. Just, like, medicate. We're just gonna medicate and not do any, like, therapies or, like... I love behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, because there you can actually, like, do things that, like, aren't going to continue, like, you know, over-medicate your brain. You can develop behaviors that are directly correlative to why you have trauma and, you know, yeah.
Therapy used to stress me out, but I think that was the therapist that I had and not, like, therapy itself.
Yeah, bad therapist or wrong fit therapist is...
That therapist made me feel more anxious than he should have.
Oh, yeah. I hate anxiety when it comes to therapy. It's counterproductive, honestly. It's
like... My last therapist called me Carolyn.
Yeah.
And I had, like... I had to fire her eventually.
I'm just
going to
eject myself because that's not my name.
If you can't even understand my name, how are you going to understand everything else about
me? Like, I secretly, like, triple check every, you know, before I send an email, before I send a text, like, to make sure I didn't spell someone's name wrong. Because, like, the amount of times I was called Elvis and Ivis as a kid, my name is Avis. It is four letters. It is the shortest name that I come across typically in the wild. Rude. Rude as fuck. And I just, yeah, I really try hard not to, like, call someone the wrong name or, like, you know.
If it makes you feel any better, I get Carrie and Connie a lot.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
That's
love
so
it.
Rude.
Love it. It's not that hard.
I thought, like, when I saw your name, I think it was in the email, seeing that you had been, had subscribed to the Patreon. And I was like, that's such a cute spelling of Corey, because my, one of my cousins, my boy cousins, was named Corey, just the normal spelling, C-O-R-Y. And I have since come across, like, several persons named Corey and all spelled, like, differently, and I love that spelling.
I have not met very many women named Corey, and especially not many that spell it the same way I do, but I used to work at Claire's, and there was a mom getting her daughter's ears pierced, and I saw in the consent form that her name was spelled almost identical to mine, except it only had one R in it, and I was like, that's the closest I've ever met to another Corey in the wild.
Yeah, the Corey I knew was C-O-R-E-Y, so I thought the E was different, but no, I really like your spelling. It's a very nice spelling of Corey.
I like it too. Can we talk about how Marco is pretty good at that accordion? Like, it's still an accordion, but
Marco
low-key
put the stank on that accordion. Like, he's like... It was good. No, I was vibing with the accordion. I never hate an accordion situation, though. I feel like people find it like an embarrassing instrument. I have never found it like, give me an accordion, give me a harp.
It didn't sound like bad.
It sounded polka-y. And can I be controversial and say that, like, I don't mind polka? Maybe it's since, like, that brief John Candy cameo in Home Alone 2. That's the first Home Alone. In Home Alone, where they, like, where she, like, runs into the polka people in the airport and they give her a ride. And, yeah, I don't know what it is about polka since then. Maybe that's why I like it. But I did not hate the sound. And Marco, like, looked really cute carrying the big-ass, like, accordion that was bigger than, like, and Ashley's face, like, are we really going full accordion? Because I think you never go full accordion.
Right. She's like, no, what is...
I was honestly just impressed that he knew how to play the accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He sounded like he had been practicing.
Do you think Adama was like, hey, guys, if there was any need, I can play the accordion and I put some stank on it every time.
Well, so, this is the second time we've seen him with it.
Right. Right. He's so good. It's so cute though. Like, I love how they are like, yeah, you brought Ashley here. We're going to get Manny with the tambourine. And
do you have a prettier
hat?
Tambourine? Oh my god, that hat.
The funky junky hat. And we're going to get that Marco hat, on the accordion.
That hat is number one on my fashion corner list. I love that hat so much. I want one for myself.
I'm excited.
Hot takes with
Hot
Corey
takes
Newton.
With, right? Like, Corey, you are like, I love that you're like, yeah, no, I love a crazy funky junky hat. And
I love a good hat moment.
Yes. No, I'm excited then for Le Fashion Corner. I mean, so.
Speaking of, are we ready to
mosey on over? I think so. I don't really have any more stuff. Other than, sorry, just one thing. Ashley is really good at preparing nondescript snacks for a crowd. This is the second tray of, like, snacks. She was supposed to be getting snacks. I don't know why she just came back with cola. But
well,
yeah,
at least she wasn't breadstick, egg roll, king crab legs. Like...
Right, like what the fuck was that snack? But yeah, no. Other than that, I had to point out that she's just like low key playing homemaker, and this is not her house.
Like, it did feel weird to me that she was getting snacks in somebody else's kitchen.
Right, like I've just been here enough times because I'm your former girlfriend, and I located a tray, and right. like I don't believe that Joey's got a tray lying around.
No.
I don't believe that man has this fucking...
Well, I mean, no. It's Caitlin's house now.
Oh, it is Caitlin. I really put it out of my mind that Caitlin's around now. I will be honest. I don't want to think about it.
Before we hop on over to the fashion corner, I do want to apologize. We have a correction. We missed a black hole last week.
Yeah.
Jeff Isaacs, Toby's father. Made his last appearance in Back in Black, and it was truly a blink if you miss it type of thing because I missed it. I saw it.
Sure did miss it too.
I checked it on Degrassi Wiki because I was like, Jeff hasn't been around in a while.
Is Jeff good?
He's gone.
No, he's not. He's not.
He
good.
Has fallen into that black hole like so many before
R.I.P.
him.
R.I.P. King.
Yeah. Out here, and that's you can that. No longer. You know, be out here showing porn to your kids and their friends.
Oh, you know what I did also want to say, I just saw in my notes, is when they're recording, the way that poor sweet baby Craig is like singing Dust with his whole chest.
He's like going through it. I love his like emotional progression.
I love Jake Epstein. I love Jake Epstein, and it is what it is.
The rent is usually due, Jake.
The rent is usually due, and he pays it on time every month.
On time every month. Yeah.
Early, even. But so, all right. So, fashion corner.
Yeah. Corey, did you want to kick it off with your.
With your favorite hat in the whole wide world?
Well, okay, so I said, like, all of Manny's looks, but especially the one with the hat and then the little striped, like, halter top. Like, I think that those two together was such a vibe.
I like that. Yeah, she loves that hat, that little orange number. I like it. She's having fun. She's having fun.
I also, the okay. earlier scene that we saw her in where she was wearing the little like pink and blue little crop top thing with the flower on
that
it.
That was really cute.
That was so cute too.
Yeah.
That's one of those I would never wear it myself, but I love seeing it on her.
She pulls it off, and I like how she, that's the scene where she calls him Sticks. And like, can she is rocking the whatever haircut she's got right now with just like the, you know, middle part and the heavy locks down to, I think it's, you know, like mid chest, but it looks really good on all of these outfits. And it's like the longest I think her hair gets because I'm
before
pretty sure.
It.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Cassie, this is, we should maybe make a Cassie's hair as well. Manny's hair. She would totally be eligible for that. If you have more than four haircuts, you might be in.
Bitch, it's like nine spots in that poster. Taylor
it's
Swift
nine.
Has so many eras,
oh,
okay?
It is. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, you're right. I think Manny could fill them, though. I think she could fill them, but no. It's, I like their hair, her hair. It's the longest it gets before it starts to be a problem.
when Hazel and Paige go to the bar, Hazel is wearing that light green top again that she wore at Dylan's party.
Yes, but this time
but
we
she's
can
got
really
it
see
paired
it.
With this horrible belt.
It's not my favorite belt, and like I think what happens is it's kind of like accessory overload because she's got
well,
this
and it's
like
is it a good belt to begin with? No.
No.
Does it go well with this top?
No.
Also, no.
No. We've got a green. We've got two shades of green, and we've got pink.
I feel like Hazel and Paige's looks are both like they imagined what adults wear to bars and tried to recreate it as best as they could.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like Paige is really in a like gauzy, like primary color. Drapey sort of blouse moment because both like the blue one that she has in the opening scene when she's talking to Radich is a similar sort of scrunchy gauzy blue off the shoulder vibe, but then she's where it is giving like pre-HR rep, like this is like girls going out for cocktails after
it's
work.
Giving like HR rep on a Friday.
Yeah, like
I feel like Paige's outfit would not have been so bad if she didn't have the white like camisole thing underneath
the white cami underneath is not, and then she's got the pinstripe pants, and it's just not the combo. It definitely is giving safe for work, you know, like you don't want to show too much. You just want to keep it conservative, and you're like, they're both got those little mini bags that you have to keep under your arm for them to work with your outfit at all, because who's carrying a little mini bag that's like 2 inches? Yeah, it's not good. They are definitely dressing like they think people who are old enough to go to bars dress. And no, we don't dress like this at any point in time. No.
Well, in Canada, you can drink at 19, so...
You can, right, like, you're drinking, like, you're dressing like a 25-year-old when it's okay to dress like a 19-year-old. Because 19-year-olds can drink. Because
you could tell me you were 19, and I would probably believe it.
I have seen some, like, complete fetuses that, like, are 19.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm going to scrutinize your ID a little, but I'm not going to...
Yeah, no, it's not.
But you tell me you're 25 and I don't know how they got in this bar.
Right. I'm not even giving you 21. You don't look 21. You could pass for 19. That's why the guy's looking at their IDs like, not worth it. Like, not worth the fight.
Right. They're going to have one vodka cranberry and not finish it.
Yeah.
I'll keep an eye and see who they leave with, you know. Right. Hopefully he's a good bouncer. Mm-hmm. Do anybody else have more fashion?
I had this. Go ahead, Corey.
I was going to say the only other note that I had was Matt is so dressed down in the bar and Charlie is like so much more dressed up than him.
He's a loser. He's a big loser.
He's a loser. He's a loser. No, seriously, he is.
He is.
That just soundbite is going to live for free. No, he is wearing like a sweater vest. He looks like an older version of JT in, is that Back in Black?
Yeah.
It's not a good
one. I hate him.
A sweater vest, and I'm so glad that they're not like, give me a sweater or give me a vest. Please do not give me both.
I don't necessarily hate a sweater vest, but I don't like anything about this man.
I don't know if men can be frumpy, but Mr. Oleander felt frumpy in the bar.
Yeah, he's frumpy.
Yeah, he is frumpy.
He's whatever the male equivalent of frumpy is, which is probably way less negative connotation than frumpy.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's sloppy and disheveled.
He is windblown. Yeah, it's not a good unkempt. I would use unkempt. Mm-hmm. He is very unkempt. I don't like his vibe, but I don't know what Paige's like attraction is to people. Like, what about him is attractive? And it's, I know that the unkempt, disheveled sort of like roll out of bed look was in at this time, but still, Paige.
I think part of the attraction is the fact that he is her a little bit older teacher.
Yeah, like Forbidden Fruit.
Yeah. I think it's also like, no offense, but Spinner's a loser. Paige likes losers.
Wait a minute. Our last episode proper was titled We Know Spinner's Poor. And now we're saying we know Spinner's a loser.
He is.
Shane is going to be like, so you hate? Like,
no, Shane, we don't hate.
Okay, but to be fair, this is like season 4 out of like 18 that Spinner gets to be in.
I know, and right now he's a fucking loser. Paige likes losers.
Maybe that is what it is, because it's just like, Paige, you are batting way. You went like, you left the stadium, the parking lot, and you're batting on the street, my guy. What are you doing? Like, why are you all the way out there to, like, batting?
It's so bad.
It's
so bad, Paige. You can do so much better.
But no, Manny is serving throughout this episode. And I mean, Spinner is there. Mm-hmm. I feel like all of the guys typically are there. Like, they just wear band tees or graphic tees and, like, collared shirts.
Right? Oh. Sometimes Marco gets dressy.
I do have a negative, I can't stand this outfit and I'm so sorry, but it's Ashley's outfit. I don't that collar. Her last outfit her second to last outfit when Craig kisses her, mm-hmm. and she's got that like tan, whitish, like collared shirt, and that collar is just starched.
Yeah.
That collar is just fucking starched and it's not going anywhere. And the rest of the shirt is really limp. So the fact that the collar is like starched, it's bothering me. And that's probably like the what pisses me off most about this outfit is the collar and not really the rest of the outfit. Because I mean, it's fine. It's not the best outfit she's worn. It's not the most offensive, but really the collar's got me bucket. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm over it. Because I know that extra care was spent to starch the shit out of that collar that morning, and I'm done.
And on that note, I don't have a Heather Sinclair hypothesis, but I, having looked at that shot again, I confidently will say it's not Scooter Girl.
It confidently is not Scooter Girl.
She's got like some strawberry blonde to red highlights, and she's not Scooter Girl.
No, we do see her briefly when they have their arms up in the...
Yeah, we don't. They're very sneaky, but
they are.
Now I know what to look for. I'm gonna have an eye out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna find
now
her.
Now we know she's at least blonde.
Blonde, but straw. But like, there was some red streaks.
And we know that Paige is. I feel like we just get her descriptions from Paige, and like Paige right. is like
Paige hates Heather Sinclair. Like,
so we have very little actual attributes to work with, because we can assume big boobs just mean bigger than Paige has.
Like, not that I was looking that hard at the child that is supposed to be Heather Sinclair, but her boobs didn't look that big.
That big.
Yeah.
Right, like just slightly bigger than Paige herself possesses is probably what, like, Paige, like her big boobs is just so big. Yeah, no, she's upset. She's pissed. But all right, yeah, Heather Sinclair hypothesis is we're building.
She's not Scooter Girl.
We're building. We're getting close and closer to the identity.
So do we want to just kind of go in a circle on shots fired?
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Corey, do you want to start us?
So the first one that I have on my list is the entire opening scene. I transposed the entire conversation word for word in my notes.
Oh, I love that.
If you want me to just read it.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
So Craig says that sounded a bit tighter, and Spinner says keyboard sounded a bit off, and Ashley goes, cause the drums threw me off, only it was more in the verse. And then Marco goes, okay, it sounded like this tape of Wales my Aunt Pia has. And then a little while later, when Spinner goes, 1, 2, crap, 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
That entire conversation was just shots fired back to back to back.
They were going. They were at each other's necks. No, seriously.
Well, and then I had when Ashley suggests Dust, and he's like, sure, the song that just happens to be all about you.
Yep. I had that. My first one, technically, was Snake saying, just find another seat, Paige. It's not the end of the world. In media immersion.
I don't have Mr. Simpson saying that, but I do have the look that he gives her when he says that.
Yes. Yes, no, actually, really, when she's like, but it's watermelon. It's like... But
he's
Paige.
Like, I don't know what that means, Paige, but sit the fuck down.
Sit the fuck
down. The look on his face is just like, I have so many other things to deal with right now. I do not have time for your shit, Paige.
Paige, there's people that are dying.
Paige, there's people.
I have Paige saying to Hazel, do not let the cult of yoga suck you in. You'll end up wearing batik and eating spelt, and I'll have to perform an exorcism to get my Hazel back.
Yes. I have Jimmy saying, yeah, Spinner walks out on a lot of things. Yeah.
I've got Charlie saying that, the Shirley Temple for the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have Alex saying, you and the Furby just broke up.
I have Spinner saying, I thought I'd bring my own amuse. And Craig says, you mean muse?
The last one on my list is when they're, I don't know, remember exactly which band practice it was, but Spinner goes, and 1, still crap, 4.
Yes.
I have Manny before the interview saying there's no such thing as bad publicity, but there is such a thing as a bad shirt. Especially because he's literally just wearing a gray t-shirt. Like, it's a fine shirt.
Right. I have Spinner saying, Ash has gotta go. And I have Marco saying, hey, Sticks, slow it down. Ash has gotta go.
And do you have any more, Corey?
Yeah, do you have any more, Corey?
Those were all the ones on my list.
Okay, how about you? I have... Okay. No, I guess that's it for me.
Okay, so I have a couple more. Just, I think, three. I have Ellie saying, just don't come crying to me when he Craig's out on you. And I have Hazel saying, so we'll be in jail and the witness protection program. And then later, when she asks Paige her birthday or her birth year, she says, too slow, you're in jail. That's it. All right, yeah. So
I feel like superstar or shining stars are going to be small.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we've got more bummers this episode.
Because you've got what, one, Corey, and it was Hazel?
Yeah. Hazel was literally my only shining star.
I would give it to Ashley too. Ashley's really trying, I think. It's not her fault that Craig can't communicate with anybody.
It's not her fault that Craig's unwell. No, Craig. No, I think Ashley's definitely trying.
She's being chill about Manny being there. She's
like, I'm not trying to be a diva, but like, why the fuck is there an accordion and a tambourine here?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? No, yeah, I'm fair with that. She can be a little tack on. I think that Hazel really is out here fighting for her life, trying to get Paige not to go into another situation that she will undoubtedly have to, like, assist her with, you know, getting out of. But,
right.
I can see Ashley, like I said, the growth there is nice. It's nice for her to be showing me that she is not just, like, stuck in that whatever scene that she was made to do, the Tammy and the Shrew scene, and like, love, yeah, no, love always, Ashley. I really am so happy that she's like, please deliver me.
Okay, super bummers. Besides everyone,
Paige. Paige bummed me out. Paige is a bummer.
Paige is a bummer. Mr. O's a bummer.
Yeah, and he's
Craig
not
is a bummer.
Craig, oh, yeah, is a bummer. Craig is a bummer, yeah.
I'm giving it to Ellie.
Ellie's a bummer, and honestly, even though Marco and Spinner are justified, they're bummers, because they go about it. They're so annoying. They just...
Liberty's a bummer, because that interview was
a butthole. Abysmal. Yeah. A butthole. Yes, that interview was butthole. It was just the worst. Liberty, like, you prepared those interview questions 2 minutes prior.
It really is giving, oh shit, I forgot I had an interview. Let me write some questions for a band real quick.
I don't really listen to music at all, but
I don't really listen to the popular music. No, yeah, I can't with Liberty. She definitely is on the shit list for those questions. Yeah, I think
that's everybody.
I think that's everybody. I'll tack on Snake for the shining stars, because I feel like he is really, like, trying.
He didn't even care about the disgusting and illegal watermelon gum. No.
Okay, but because Paige is a bummer for me, I have to headcanon that fucking Snake is out here. Not as hard as Hazel, but he is fighting for his life still.
All right, all right.
And he is trying.
You can have it.
He's like on edge. And then here comes Paige talking about watermelon gum. And he's just like, Paige, Milkelchuck, I do not have time for you right now. If you don't get the fuck out of my face and go all the way over there.
Like, there.
We just Snake's just a baby, and he's just trying to make it through the fucking this
he
fucking
is.
Issue. Through this
he
fucking
is.
Crazy ass world. We need to do a sweet. Can we do a Snake and his computer? Two crazy kids trying to make
yes.
it.
We need a Snake Survivor video too.
We do. Oh, man.
On that note, does it go there?
Does it go there?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
No. No. An accordion was had. But we can't. We can't do
the accordion. Did go there, but nothing.
The accordion went there. Craig's
like the accordion went there.
Craig's performance of Dust went there. Otherwise,
it did.
No.
Craig's like having all the emotions and like all of the emotions on Mike. Yeah, no, it does not go there. But
he's
but the
like,
accordion.
I don't want to be that man for you anymore, Ash.
Oh gosh. Oh yeah. Yep. Mhm. Beautiful.
Do you want to sign us on out, Avis?
Yes, indeedy.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to discuss Craig's breakdown and the birth of Jibberty in Voices Carry, Parts 1 and 2. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Neutral Milk Hotel, Vaseline, and support from listeners like you.
Thank you so much for
Thank
joining
you
us,
so
Corey.
Much, Corey. Did you
Thank
wanna
you for having me?
Did you wanna tell folks where to find you and
yeah,
if you wanna
do you
plug
have
anything,
anything you wanna plug?
Sure. If you want to buy some poetry books that I wrote, you can find them on Amazon at Corey Scott. Corey spelled C-O-R-E-Y.
Love it.
Okay.
It's called Growth, and then the other one is called Sad Girl Hours.
Ooh.
I will check
no,
that out.
I will absolutely check
have
that out.
Have I been spelling your name wrong this whole time?
No, I purposefully spelled it differently for the publishing.
Oh, okay.
Just because
gotcha.
I could.
Just gave me a mini heart attack. Just, that's fine.
Just a little sizzle. Okay, yeah, we'll definitely link that for our listeners. And
yeah.
My Instagram is also at Corey Writes Books.
Love it.
Nice, nice. Yeah,
that's a good
shoot
handle.
Us an email with those so we can.
Yes, absolutely. Shoot us those and we will put those in the show notes. And yes, thank you again for joining us, Corey. And yeah. If you guys want to join our Patreon, again, this is one of the perks you get as a Titty Snake producer for, you know, you get to choose your own episode within reason and we'll bring you on and we will take up about 4 hours of your life.
So- yeah. And Corey, you've got goodies coming to you as well. So.
Yes.
I am very excited to receive my goodies.
Yes, they were put in the mail carefully by my girlfriend this morning. I had to, like, get extra postage and shit because this is the biggest, like, batch of mail I've ever sent out for the pad. So I'm really excited.
Did you send out everything?
I sent out everything. I sent out the unsigned Harrahs, the signed Harrahs, the Patreon packs, the caption contest.
My poster?
Yes, I sent out your poster as well.
Sure, baby.
I did send it out with the name Caroline Monroe because I just saw late that it was Helen.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
I was like, I think it's going to get to Helen regardless. But yeah, no, all of them, it is all your goodies are on the way to you, Corey. And I'm super excited for you to get them. And
yeah.
Thank you so much. This was dope. Hopefully it wasn't too much of your life.
No, it was a good time. I had fun.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I hope to have you back soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Absolutely. You're like, I'm down. Love it.
Okay. I can absolutely be down.
Awesome. We love
we
that.
We will be in touch. Have a great yes. night, Corey.
Yes. Y'all have a great
too.
Night. Enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Margot Mancini,
Evie Piscini,
Miranda Bickers,
Octavia Faith,
and June Bard.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Alika Fenderson
and Corey Newton.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, That's Padcast. PADCAST. Thank you.